broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 40. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
And he humbled himself even further. Down, down, down. And you know what? The lower he went, the higher you and I went. It's like aerodynamics. He got up under you. I got grandkids and I can still throw them up in the air and catch them. Some of them. And it's just fun for them and for me. God wants you to have fun with this. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know him. And he wants you to let him have that fun with you as you enjoy what he's provided. Verse 12 says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who's meted out the heaven with a span? Who's comprehended the dust of the earth? Who is this God that does all that? Verse 13 says, who's directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor taught him? There's nothing he needs to learn or know. We sit back in America because of all of this information. You got Google, ask it, and you go on your way like you never really had to learn anything. And you took it at somebody else's word. You didn't do any research. You looked up a verse that you had a problem with because it bothered you. There's a little issue. You didn't like it, so you found a verse that gave you license. And I'm telling you, if you want to look for a verse that will give you license to do whatever you want to do, you can find it. There's some goofball out there who's willing to write something against the things of God. And say, I'm going to take issue and I'm going to prove it's right. And they'll even have a big dissertation. They'll get accolades from the world because the world loves its own. So you'd be very, very circumspect. The Bible says, take heed how you hear. Doesn't it? And Google's willing to give you an answer of seven of them that have nothing to do with the Bible and the truth of it. The Bible says, behold, in verse 15, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust on the balance. What did he say? The nations. Like a drop. They're not a drop in the bucket. They're a drop of a bucket. The Bible says they're like as small as dust on the balance. It says Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. And it really struck me. It's not sufficient to burn. Because he's just equated all these things with dust. You think of dust burning? I guess you'd see a little crackle, smart spark. But there's that. It says, but Lebanon was something they really enjoyed. It was one of their prime areas. And they really loved it as a getaway, as it were, and a good place to go and to enjoy the beauty of. The Bible says Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor and the beasts. What's he saying? There's no burn offering out there that's gonna pay for your sins. God had to do it. Verse 17 says, all the nations before him are as nothing. To him they are less than nothing, in verse 17. To whom then will you liken God? What will you compare him to? He says, the workman makes a graven image. The goldsmith, well, he creates and casts silver chains. And he that is so impoverished spiritually, he finds something to worship. He goes and gets him a tree. A choice tree, mind you. It's just a tree. And he gets that tree that will not rot. And he seeks somebody with cunning hands. And he gives his best of his money, even though he doesn't have much. He's impoverished spiritually and personally. And the Bible says he gets a cunning workman because he's really devoted. He really wants to find God. But all he's going to do is he's going to prepare a graven image. He says, have you not known? Verse 21. Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood? From the foundations of the earth. I reference Romans again in chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. It says, they turn dark in their hearts because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it to them. God has showed it to them. God has showed it to them. God showed himself. He says, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let me illustrate. If you're walking in the park and you're somewhere out in Mohegan or let's say some of these bike trails in Ohio, you're walking on the bike trails. Well, somebody paved that. Well, that's not natural. Somebody did that. You say, well, some people were here. And you come across this really neat bench. It's got metal and it's got cast and it's got welds and it's put together. It's got wood or plastic, some kind of plank so that you can sit. Some man was there. This creation screams that there is a God. Didn't happen by accident. You want to know what the biggest thing, though, is? It's not creation. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in Christ was life. And the life was the light of men. That means that, to borrow a philosopher's word, he said, I think, therefore, I am. No, it means that you think, therefore, he is. Okay. He is. And you need to come to know him. The Bible says, you've known it from the beginning. God's revealed it to you. You have a conscience. You see the world. You understand. You didn't come from a monkey. The monkeys are still here. You say, well, they don't say that. They say it's a primate. It used to be a monkey. They didn't distinguish. They changed it because everybody started saying, well, they're still here. Well, they're still here. Well, they're still here. There's like a little 8-year-old. After a while, it's like we call primate or something else. Listen, the Bible tells us very clearly that God is the creator of this world. It was created ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. In him was life. And that life was the light. The Bible says he's the one that sits upon the circle of the earth. He's the one that stretches out the heavens as a curtain. He's the one that spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. We live on a ball of dirt with some unseen kind of thing we call an atmosphere. Therefore, because we've designated a name for it, we say we understand it. I have no clue what an atmosphere is. Can't create one. Can't create one. These people, we see it. Moving on, verse 23. He's the one that bringeth princes to nothing. And he maketh judges of the earth as vanity. Now, it's kind of interesting because if I were a rich man or a judge or a prince, I'd be a little squirmy. He says, they're not going to be planted in verse 24. They're not. He says, they shall not be sown. They shall not take root. You see, it's a high and lofty thing to be put in charge. Very difficult to handle that kind of power. A couple years back, we had a thing called the Tea Party movement, right? And what happened, the guys go up in the Tea Party and they become just like everybody else. And suddenly, where'd they go? They were absorbed. Why? Because it's hard. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. This country was founded as a republic and now it's becoming a socialistic, tyrannical kind of thing, just like other nations have become. But when we realize who we are, we can maybe pull it back. But my point is this. Judges, princes, they're not going to be planted. They're not going to be sown. I think of David. David was great when everybody was chasing him around the landscape when Saul was after him. He thrived while he had sword in hand and was doing the hard work of helping him and his men survive. He knew God had his hand. He had a plan for him, a kingdom prepared for him. But the moment that he had gotten some sort of ability to kind of get that thing under him and under his control, he had only a minute that he really prospered. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 15, it says, and David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. He was a good king. He was really good. Go a couple chapters later, that was chapter 8. Chapter 11 says, and it came to pass when the year expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab, and David tarried in Jerusalem. That's in chapter 11, and we all know what happens next. Cue this sinister music, a girl bathing, and he takes her. And the whole thing unfolds in a couple of chapters. And that's chapter 11. Chapter 12 says, and Nathan said to him, you're the man who stole another man's wife. And he says, nevertheless, the Lord's put away your sin. That's why David can say, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. That's chapter 12, verse 7. Nathan said, you're the man. That's chapter 12, verse 7. You want to know what happens a little later? It says that he prayed for the baby. The baby died. All these things happened. And yet, chapter 12, verse 27 of 2 Samuel says this. Joab went and sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Reba. And he says, and have taken the city of waters. He says, now therefore come. He says, and take the crown so they don't say it was won in my name. I'm abridging, of course. And in verse 30 it says, and he took the king's crown of Rabbah from his head and he put it on David's head. David didn't even want to be there. There's a battle going on. He was tired of it.
It bit him. What I'm trying to show you is that you have to be real careful if you are in positions of leadership, people in the radio, whatever. You have to be careful because those places can be very, very daunting. And not many people are fitted well for that kind of influence and the influence that comes to bear on them. Verse 24 says, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown, they shall not take root. And the Bible says, and he, the Lord, shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. There's a lot of people getting ready to be blown upon in a big way. They're already being blown upon. We see it in the news. We see the Durham report coming along and things like that. So just wait. Just wait. God will not be mocked. Verse 26 says, behold, who hath created these things? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, he that hath created these things, he calleth them by name. It says, why sayest thou, verse 27, and why do you speak in this way? My way is hid from the Lord. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't love me. He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary, there is no searching his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He says, you may feel like you're about ready to faint. You may feel like your knees are going to buckle. If you're an Israelite on the outside looking in, you might feel like he's far away. He's not. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. And he's going to come and he's going to bring all those people back to himself that will have ears to hear, having to go through the great tribulation to really make it come home to them that he is the God who's doing these things. They can go to the book of Revelation and watch it happen right out in front of them. It's happening like that now. 666, mark of the beast, can't buy or sell without a mark. All these things are coming to pass. It's all in the book of Revelation. Chapter 13 is the one that deals with the mark, but there's so much more coming, and they will see it. And the Bible says in Zechariah, at the breakneck minute, they're going to see him whom they pierced, and they're going to mourn for him as for an only son, and they will come to him. The Bible says, don't forget who this God is. He's one who does not faint. He's never weary. He's got a plan, and he gives strength, and he gives increase of strength when it's needed. Verse 30 says, even the youths will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord, they're going to wait. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. I don't know if that's encouraging to you, but it is to me. Comfort ye my people. There's a day coming real soon when Jesus is going to break the sky, but it's going to be a lot of bad, bad, bad stuff happening before that. But not to the believers. We're not appointed to wrath, and the wrath is what the whole issue of the tribulation is. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's what it's called in the Bible. And we're looking for Jesus to take us out of here so he can get on with the program. And we'll be with him for those 7 years. And we'll come back with him in the air, as the Bible declares. You say, well, that's extreme. You can't believe that. Listen, extreme times demand extreme measures. This whole world is being brought to heel by a very few people. The whole world is being brought to heel. And Jesus will humble them all. The very first thing he's going to do is take the Antichrist and the false prophet, cast them directly into hell. They're not even going to the great white throne judgment. That's done. And right now you're living in the cusp of that kind of a time. Demons are going to be let loose on the earth in Revelation chapter 9. We've got a day that's a-coming. But if you'll run to Jesus now, you can miss all that. And you can get in on the other side when all the dust is settling. And be here. So proud of you, Jesus. So proud of you, Lord. So proud of your King. So proud of everybody who muscled through the tribulation, didn't take the mark of the beast, which that hasn't arrived yet, thankfully. But it's on the agenda. Would you bow with me for a moment? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just for a pondering moment, would you just do that? Think about it. If you're not saved, you need to be. You know that.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.